But let's look at God's word. I'm just very thankful to be a part of the service tonight. I don't take it lightly. And I know you get to hear good preaching, so bear with me. I'm going to shoot down. I'm going down. So just put up with me tonight if you would. But it's just always when we open up the scriptures, we can learn something. And I pray that the Lord can use me to get across what he's been teaching me through the word of God. So would you pray with me tonight and for me? Lord, what a privilege to be behind this pulpit tonight. I don't take it lightly. Thank you for those that have come in from a long work day, or just maybe they've been not feeling well, but they've made the effort to come in. And it'd be a letdown for them if they heard from me, but it'd be a real help if they hear from you. And so I'm asking that you might just use me tonight to be an encouragement. I'm trying tonight to be as transparent as I possibly can so I can be a help as we go into this, as they go into this special month of missions. And so I pray that you use this in all of our hearts tonight, specifically in Jesus' name. Amen. When you come to a church that you know gets taught, and I guess you're going through characters in the book of Hebrews, and you know, he got off the hook, he told me he didn't want to talk about Jephthah and some of these great characters of the faith. You know, we named our son Gideon. Now that was a challenge. Our oldest name is Gideon. And you look at Gideon, he started out well and ended up bad. And so we kind of we got to balance the name out. So we have Gideon and Titus, because the name Titus means honorable. But when you say it together, it sounds like a disease. It's like people so both of our kids, so it's Gideon, Titus. It's like Gideon, Titus. He's like, what's your problem? I have Gideon, Titus. But so you try to balance out your kids. Gideon's our oldest. Titus is our second one. And just, that's, sorry, my brain works. But I like to come in. If you come in once in a while, you you get a variety of preaching, teaching. And so I feel like as a young guy coming in, how can I help a church? How can I give something that can be a blessing? And Pastor shared with me that this is missions. And so I kind of just went back, prayed a little bit on a certain topic. And honestly, I just preached this at our church about a week and a half ago. And really, I don't want to be a hypocrite about this message. So I'm going to stand up before you tonight and say, this is an area I've taught, I've preached, I've encouraged, but I'm kind of hypocritical when it comes to this, and I don't want to be. So I want to be honest. We're going to talk soul winning tonight. Because I want you to think about something for a minute. I know many of you are going to be encouraged to give this month. You're going to be encouraged to go tell others. But think about it just for a moment. The people that knocked on our door weren't missionaries. But my entire family is serving the Lord because they were soul winners. So kind of hold that thought, because here's where I look at. I'm the type of guy I like to evaluate. So I look back at the year previous. I'm like, oh, I failed here and I failed here and I failed here. And I look back really almost at the last 40 years, the last 32 years as Christian. And I'll be honest, I look down the row by me at church and there's not that many people that I've seen saved, baptized, and discipled. That's kind of a problem, because sometimes even as an evangelist, which is my title, I lose purpose. So I'm just going to maybe try to stir the pot here, because I'm not preaching down at you because you got buses, and I know it's an active church, so please don't misunderstand me, but I'd like you to just kind of look inside as I have and see if you are personally a soul winner. And the text I'll look at is just kind of interesting, because sometimes we look at occupations. For instance, if I say this, fill in the blank, one word, a skier, what does a skier do? Skis. I mean, it's kind of obvious. He doesn't play ping pong, right? A skier skis. A baker, okay, so kind of with me. A seamstress seams, okay. I knew that was coming. Now, this one could be a little bit, you got to be careful. A driver, I was going to say, I hope you didn't say text or something like that. A coach, a teacher, a preacher, go down the list, a Christian, we don't really kind of know how to fill in the blank. So there's a lot of things a Christian does, but I think it's good for us to consider by the end of the evening, a baker, you know what he does. It seems like you know what a seamstress does. A driver drives, a preacher preaches, a teacher teaches, and so forth. Sometimes we say, a Christian... So I've had to look at my life and say, man, I think if I consider myself and follow the pattern of Jesus Christ, we understand He came for one purpose. It was to seek, help me out, and to save that which was lost. And He stayed on that purpose. Now, did He do other things? He absolutely did. He fed the 5,000. He calmed the waters. He raised people from the dead. But He stayed on that purpose. So I'm not saying stop working in the nursery, because guys, we don't want to do that. I'm not saying stop, do this and that. Stop teaching Sunday school. But I think as Christians, we need to stop and realize, what is our number one purpose? He called the disciples. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Did they pass out bread at the feeding of the 5,000? They sure did, but they knew their purpose. And I'd like to just maybe remind you, our purpose is to be fishers of men. Do we believe in heaven tonight? I think so. Do we believe there is an eternal lake of fire? I think we do. Do we believe that there's sinners that will go to the lake of fire if they're not saved? We do. Do we believe the text that says, he that winneth souls is wise? If we don't, that means we're not wise. Scripture. He that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, will doubtless come again with rejoicing. The Bible says there is joy in heaven over one sinner. Now we know this. I'm preaching, teaching to the choir tonight. But I had to sit back and look and say, where's my fruit? When Jesus came to the fig tree, He expected to find fruit. And when He did not find fruit, what did He do? That's a scary thought for me. Sometimes I wonder if I'm dried up. Our purpose, we are ordained to bear fruit, to bring forth fruit. And so I know we're in a soul-winning church, and we are too, and we get excited when somebody gets saved, but individually tonight, personally tonight, are we soul winners? We can complain about politics, and do we not? What a messed up world. But what are we doing about it? We can complain about, you name the issue, because we're good at complaining about issues. I've complained long enough about the public schools, and the Lord has stirred my heart. I'm in a public school. We're working through public schools. A young man that I think will be in church in the next two or three weeks from a public school. I can sit back and complain about the public schools, but just in our area alone, from our church, 45 minutes around us, I looked at all the schools. I looked at all the numbers. There's 50,000 ninth through 12th graders, 45 minutes around us. We bring in 80 maybe. Now, I'm not saying they don't go to other churches. I'm not saying that. And there may be Christians there, but I stop and think, that's a mission field. My job is not necessarily to get them to Fairhaven Baptist Church. We're building the kingdom of God, are we not? And I think it's good to get them, but it may be I just get them to Jesus and let Him do what He will. We can talk about everything, but when it comes to Jesus, we get a little tight-lipped. I do. I guess, let me just turn this on me so you can amen all day, because this is all a message about me. One of the, probably my pet peeves is after church, there's a sermon, God works in hearts, and as soon as you walk in the door, people just completely change the vein of thinking to sports, work. It's like it's gone. We can talk about Jesus even after church. So when we go out, I find myself, I could talk about the weather, and I could talk about this, and I could talk about that. But for some reason, I get a little tongue-tied when I'm talking about Jesus. It's easy in here. But go to the bank. This is me. And I found even, I'll take it a step further. I love passing out tracts. I'm a good tract passer. I'll be honest. I do it everywhere I go. But sometimes it stops right there. And I know we don't have time to, but what is our what is my purpose? Now, I'm paid by the church. I get it. You can't be stop in the middle of your work day like, bless God, Brother Raymond, I'm going to be a soul winner. I get it. It takes time. But I'm saying, can we go beyond with the purpose of winning souls? Let me ask you this. I'm getting there. I am getting there to the seven texts. But I'm just going to read them, so you're safe. In 45 years, I have almost 45, I've been approached two times with an invitation to church. Twice. Once was a Mormon, once was a Jehovah's Witness. I have never had somebody come up to me and say, hey, I'd like to invite my church. Here's a gospel tract. That's sad. I just thought really hard about this, thinking, if we say we are going to, we want to impact the world for Jesus, look at this right here. How many people are in Jasonville? 2,000 people. How many typically come to church? Here, Sunday. So that's about 10% of Jasonville. So 200 people just go out and go crazy and witness to people. Wow. Again, I'm not preaching that you're not. I'm just asking us to look inside and say, am I personally being a soul winner? I'm going to have to stand before you and say, it's hard to preach this because I'm not. And the Lord's pounding me with this. So when a preacher preaches, typically they'll pray something like this. Lord, as I preach, give me power and let the people apply this to their lives, right? So the purpose of preaching is to take what you hear and put it in action, right? I coach wrestling, and we take our boys sometimes to this clinic, and they learn all kinds of moves. Now, how foolish would it be for our boys to learn 30 moves, go to the match, shake hands, the whistle's blown, the referee's standing there, they start wrestling. 8 seconds later, my guy gets thrown back on his back. He lays there. He gets pinned. He gets up. And I say, what was wrong with you? Didn't you know the moves? Well, yeah. And I say, well, why didn't you use it? Oh, was I supposed to? No, we understand as coaches, we want them to take what they've learned in the gym and apply it to their lives on the mat. And so we pray that way. But here are the texts. Let's look at them. Mark chapter 1, we'll start there. I think we as Christians have taken these texts and applied them to our lives in a negative way. You'll see where I'm going with this. I read through the Gospels in these passages kind of, you're like, what? That doesn't make sense. My wife and I were talking about it after lunch. She's like, I don't understand why Jesus did this. So look at Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 40. We won't read through the entire passage, but it says in verse 40, there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So we understand leprosy. Yes, I don't think we need to go down. Leprosy, if you got it, it was pretty much what? A death sentence. They had to leave homes. They had to leave family and so forth. And it was not a good thing. So you knew when you got leprosy, your life was over. This leper comes and he comes to Jesus and says, if you can, make me clean. I love this. And Jesus, verse 41, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Now get this. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man. You got a death sentence. You're healed. And Jesus says, I think we as Christians have applied that verse to our lives. Let's look at Mark chapter 3. We'll just look at verse 11 and 12. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. Man, we can preach. Look at the power of God over the devils. Look what Jesus tells the devils. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. We're like, oh, I need to apply that to my life. Look at Mark chapter 5. Remember the story of Jairus on a mission to get Jesus. His daughter was at the point to die, and finally he realized she was dead. Jesus goes in verse number 41. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment, verse 43, and he charged them straightly that no man should know it. Just before this, the people were laughing when Jesus said she was dead. He put them out so they knew he was dead. Can you imagine Jairus and Jairus' wife walking out with the daughter? We can't tell anybody. Now, I don't know if my child was raised from the dead. I think I'd get a little excited about it. So here's Jairus, probably just busting at the seams to talk about the resurrection of his daughter. Jesus says, shh. I think we as Christians have applied this to our lives. Look at chapter 7, verse 31 of Mark. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And it goes down, he heals them, and he says in verse 36, and he charged them that they should tell no man. Here's a guy that can't speak, and now he can. And Jesus says, you can't talk about it. Here's a guy like, how about, you know, I don't know what he did, what his impediment was, if he stuttered and so forth. And Jesus heals him. He can talk normal. And Jesus says, don't tell anybody. I think I've applied this to my life. Chapter 8, verse number 22 through 26. This is a blind man. He, verse 25, after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. Shh. Here's a blind guy. Can't see. He saw men as trees walking. And then Jesus touched him again, and he saw every man clearly. And Jesus said, don't tell anybody. Maybe for the first time he was able to see, and now he can't talk about it. I've applied this to my life. And then Matthew 9, don't turn there. There's two blind men. Matthew 9, verse 30, it says, and their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. We like to talk about Peter's great confession, right? People come and say, Jesus says, whom do men say that I am? Well, some say Elijah, and some say John the Baptist. Whom say ye that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we can preach messages about it, but it's interesting. Verse 20 of Matthew 16 says, then he charged the disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. There it is. I'm applying that scripture to my life. Are you following this? The transfiguration. They see Moses and Elijah, special characters in the Hebrew nation, yes? They come down off the mountain and Jesus says this, tell the vision to no man. I mean, sometimes there's things that happen in our home and I'll tell my wife, this does not leave the house. She's grinning already because there's stories going on right now. And husbands, you probably are thinking the same thing. You know, because it's fun to tell those things about their kids, but it's something that happened to you. Until the day you throw me in the ground, that story doesn't come out. So sometimes we're at lunch with staff or on a vacation with a group, and stories are being circulated, and I just see her like, she's just like biting at the bit to share. And I'm like, I don't believe in divorce, but this might, no. I've seen over the years, she's been the dorm mom for 12 years. And there's a set of stairs that the girls are not allowed to come down. It's just, you know, and they're not allowed to knock on our door. Just a little bit of privacy for our family and so forth. Except when the girls get engaged. So there are times throughout the course of the year that you hear the herd coming down those stairs. You hear, and you'll open the door and it's like, I don't have to ask. I already know what's happened. And it's just the conversation. Was it romantic? Did he get on his knees? And da-da-da-da. And it just, they never tire of telling that story. Hopefully you know where I'm going with this. But I think what's happened is we've become silent saints. And I've stopped to ask myself, why do I get tongue-tied when it comes to talking about Jesus? Why am I a silent saint? Well, I think let me propose to you three things in 10 minutes. Can we do that? Number one, maybe you're silent because that life-changing time has never happened to you. Now, again, I don't want to presume everybody's a believer because I've been around church a long time where people have just played the game, if you will. It's not worth it, folks. But it's really hard to get excited about something that's never happened to you. And so if you stop and think, you know what, maybe you've never been born again, and I understand you got a bunch of crosses out there because we stand for pro-life. And I don't know how people can live with the conscience in them to kill a baby. When our children were born, each one was a miracle. It's a life coming to this world. Praise God for life. But can I say it this way? When Jesus says ye must be born again, that is also a miracle. We got, yeah, that got saved. That's a miracle, folks. And so sometimes when you just stop and say, yeah, I got saved, maybe you never truly experienced the new birth. Maybe you're still in your blindness, if you will. Maybe you're still living in your leprosy. Maybe you're still crippled in your sin. Remember when Jesus picked up that man, grabbed him by the hand and raised him up. And the Bible says, actually it was John and Peter. They lifted him up and he started walking and leaping and praising God. Now, I don't wish, I was just talking to Luke last week. I don't wish Luke's my personality on Luke. Can you imagine him coming and acting like me? You're like, what is wrong with those people? But I tell you what, I've seen people that are just kind of, but when they get Jesus, something changes. I love to be around new Christians. You know why? Because something just happens. They're like, wow, I was a leper, but he touched me and changed me. I was a cripple, but he raised me up to my feet. I can walk. They get really excited about it. So maybe we're silent saints because it didn't happen. Remember those demoniacs? They were healed and I want to go with you, Jesus. He sent them back. Now, he told them to go publish it. Now, you read most of these stories. My wife's like, you never finished the passage. Jesus told these people not to share it almost every time they did. Because they just couldn't help it. What's your testimony? Well, when I was a kid, my mom told me I did. You're missing out. If somebody rescued you from a burning fire, I think you'd remember that. It would be pretty vivid in your mind, and you wouldn't have a problem talking about it. When Jesus rescues us from the lake of fire, it should be, woo-hoo! It's Wednesday. I'm not supposed to shout. Sorry about that. Let me give you two real quick. You're silent maybe because it hasn't happened. Number two, maybe you're silent because you've just become hardened. You wonder if the shepherds ever got tired of that night by the manger scene. We know when they left, they were rejoicing, but you never hear from them again. I'm not saying they didn't. What about Lazarus? You think he ever tired of telling how he was raised again? I wonder if he wished he didn't get raised again. I mean, I would think if I'm in heaven, like, oh, really? I got to go back. He was probably mad at Mary and Martha. I don't know. You think Mary and Martha got excited when their brother was raised again, and they probably told people. But sometimes we just get a little hard. My kids are kind of like, Dad, what message are you preaching now? That one again? And I get it. The first time's bad, let alone the third. But we just, it kind of gets old, sad to say. We sing about it. I love to tell the story. But do we? Now, if I were to go through and say, hey, tell me about your grandkids, I wouldn't have all night. You're like, okay, can you stop already? There's nothing wrong with that. But what about Jesus? You know what our world needs to hear? You know what our public school kids need to hear? They need to hear about somebody that can change the course of their life. You say, we get hardened. And number three, maybe we're silent because you get humiliated. Let me say this. Salvation lifts up God, not us. And I think sometimes we feel like we need to be lifted up. It's not my testimony that should lift people up. It should be what God has done for me that lifts him up. And it's interesting, John 12, don't turn there. It says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They believed. But they said, we're not going to say anything because we like man's praise more than God's praise. Ugh, when I read that text, it just hits right here because, man, I want Pastor Ross to like me. I want Brother Castle to like me. I want Brother Schwarger to like me. I want my pastor to like me. And you kind of go all around the country and travel and preach it. And I want kids to like me. And I want families to like me. And sometimes we put that more on a pedestal than say, I sure hope God likes me. Paul said, if we seek to please men, we'll not please God. And so when we go and door knock or go to the bank or go to the local store and you get that track and you say, you know what, I'm going to give this, but can I go a step further? Do you know you're going to heaven? Can I just tell you about what Jesus has done for me? And they reject you? That's hard for us to take. But they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting him. And so sometimes that humiliation overtakes our lives. I'm done. No, I'm gonna stay on. But you say, I'm silent, but I'd like to be helped. Can you just go back to the foot of the cross for just a little bit? That'll stir your heart again. Go back to the pig pen, if you will. The son sat there and was like, what am I doing? He went home with an expectancy of what was going to happen, and his father changed the whole course of his thinking, because that's what forgiveness is all about. Go back to the tombs. Remember how hopeless these men were. They were literally, the devil had taken them down to taking everything, even their clothes. But as soon as they met Jesus, they were clothed and in their right mind. That's good stuff. And there's a lot of messed up people out there. And I tell you what, let's get them to Jesus. Right out on your sign, it says that I read it when I came in. The cure for all, I don't remember if I'm going to quote that right. The cure is Jesus. The answer to everything is Jesus. And it's fun to say it here. Amen, brother. Preach on. Come on. Shake that bush. Let's go. But when I get out there, guilty. I am a good, silent saint. We have many people interested in growing as Christians, praise the Lord, understanding doctrine, praise the Lord, learning Greek and Hebrew, praise the Lord, but we're silent saints. This is interesting. Years ago, a preacher said this. He said, in the Great Commission, the Lord has called us to be, like Peter, fishers of men. This is what he said. Follow this. We have turned the commission around so that we have become merely keepers of the aquarium. He said, occasionally, I take some fish out of your fishbowl and put them into mine, and you take some fish out of my fishbowl and put, and we kind of are content with our churches just kind of keeping the aquarium. And I'm very, very challenged about this because I'm running around. I meet a lot of nice people. I send encouraging texts to people as I'm in the public school coaches and things like that. But that's not really what I'm supposed to do, is encourage people, because good people, and they're good people, but good people will still go to the lake of fire. I have to go beyond being humiliated or being hardened And I can say this, I know that I'm born again. I know I'm a Christian. 32 years, praise the Lord, but I think I've kind of lost that wonder of it all and become a silent saint. Turn to Psalm 71, and I'll be done. As I'm turning there, let me ask you this. How many times have you invited people to church? Can I see your hands? You've invited people. I know it. How many times have you been disappointed? Okay, so two Sunday nights ago when I preached this, I invited every public school wrestler I know, their coaches, the dads. I sent 20 texts out to different people, and guess how many showed up? None. I've come to understand that you can invite and invite and invite, and you already know they're probably not coming. So what do we do? Because you know when they come to church, you know the preaching they're going to get. You know it's going to be the gospel, right? And it's exciting when someone walks the aisle. But I've come to understand if they're not going to come to church, I probably need to win them on their turf. They're scared when they come to church. One of the guys, it's January 23rd, 24th, a dad. I said, hey, would you come? The lamest excuses show up. He's like, yeah. We're celebrating Christmas. I'm like, it's January 24th. That was the excuse. And now you can use COVID for everything. My toenail hurts, COVID. My dog, burped, COVID. And I know you get guests to come, but how many times are you disappointed? I've invited family members for years. My mom invites one person and they come. I thought I was a nice guy. So I guess I'm encouraging you, invite, yes. I'm not saying teach Sunday school, yes. Teach Sunday school. Have kids clubs, yes. Run the buses, yes. But all the doors you knock on, you might have to go beyond just dropping a tract. This is on me. And instead of just stopping there, take the next step. And this is a struggle even with Bible college because you're training guys to preach and you're training guys to do programs. But ultimately, they need to be reaching people. And we get such in the schedule and the grind of things. And I just go, 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 go. And sometimes I'm walking past somebody that might be crippled in their sins, that might be blind, calling out for somebody, have mercy on me. And I just kind of walk right by. But Jesus, every time somebody had a need, he stopped. And that doesn't bode well for my schedule. Therefore, I become a silent saint. Let's look at just a couple verses and I'll shut it down. Psalm 71. I'll just kind of skip through this. Verses 12 to 24. Read this sometime this evening or tomorrow. Verse 14. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation. Next three words, all the day. Verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Verse 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Some of you have grown up in this church. God has taught you. Your pastors have taught you. You know things. What does he say? I've been taught from my youth. Therefore, I'm just going to keep talking about it. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed or bald-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Thou, which has showed me great and sore trouble, shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Here it is. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth. O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. Here it is, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought into shame that seek my hurt. Our day-to-day places need to be soul winning grounds. So I say all that as an encouragement for missions. You're like, what? You winning somebody in Sullivan or Jasonville or Linton or name it. I don't know my geography. Could be the next missionary. You don't know. So when our door was knocked on 46 years ago, they didn't know that Brother Ramos would be hopefully preaching and encouraging others with the gospel. My brother's in the ministry. My sister's in the ministry. My mom and dad, sir, that's five of us, and it's kind of just filtered on. I'm praying that our four kids will go into some ministry of some form, and it just multiplies. But if we can start the mission field here, you've got a whole bunch of names on the wall back there. Praise the Lord. I saw even our own. I've run into the guy over at Fisher's, and I preach in the school there. And you don't know where it's going to take them. So my encouragement as we go into missions month is, you have a mission field tomorrow. Let me encourage you before you leave. Tell somebody and hear your testimony. Kind of just get started. And when you walk out, you'll probably have a smile on your face. And people, when you go into the bank, now I know you get the masks on and things like that. Up there it's worse. Here it seems normal. But they might even see a smile on your face through your mask. Or just make one with a smile on your face. That's a good idea. And they're like, what's wrong with you? Why are you so happy? I'm so glad you asked. Let me tell you what happened to me. So I stand before you, letting you know beforehand, I haven't done a very good job with this. But the Lord stirred my heart. Because I don't want to be a hypocrite when I stand up and preach on soul winning. We can yell about missions and the harvest is white, but there's a harvest here too. And you as a church have done this already, but wouldn't it be fun if another one and another one and another, we're going to go get more fish, not just keep the aquarium. Is there a need for keeping the aquarium? Absolutely. But there's also more fish. So a baker, a seamstress, a driver, send him to jail. A Christian wins souls. And I think we need to remember our purpose. Let's not be silent saints. Is this helpful? If we all just join hands, let's go. And they're going to be like, what is wrong? They already think things are wrong at this church. Let's really prove it. By saying, you know, we just got to talk about Jesus. Give your testimony tonight. Talk about it with your kids. And it might stir them. Say, you know what? Let's all talk about Jesus. I have been a silent saint too long. Would you pray for me that I would open my mouth, open my yap? Because I talk too much about everything else. But it'd be good if I just talked about Jesus. Lord, I pray that this would be helpful. I know this is a soul-winning church. And I hope I didn't come across in a rude fashion. That was not my desire. But maybe there's one here tonight that would say, yeah, I'm part of a soul-winning church, but I think I'm a silent saint. Maybe there's someone here tonight that it's never happened. And they don't get excited because they haven't been born again. I don't know. Would you speak? I know I've kind of already gone over my time. So just bless this closing time in Christ's name.